Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou hast crowned him with honor and glory. Thou hast made him have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to inquire of the beauty of the Lord, and to seek his temple. This is the generation of them that seek him, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm glad tonight we're part of that generation. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Could I ask you a question? Are you waiting on the Lord, or are you just running your own race? I think my message tonight would be something that would be encouraging, enlightening to every person in this room. I believe it's some things that we all need to consider. We go along in our lives. We get into our own little rut. We feel like, well, I'm doing a great job for God. But are you? Open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you when we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about tonight in the book of Romans. Someone said if the Bible were a jewel, if the Bible were a bracelet, that Romans would be the jewel. It is a jewel of a book. This is the message that I'm going to preach to you tonight. Discerning God's will for your life. Romans chapter 12. You know these two verses. Many of you could say them by heart. I'm going to read them to you, and I hope you'll listen very carefully and watch the words as I read Romans 12, 1 and 2, and I'll read it after we pray. Our Father, we are grateful tonight for thy kindness and blessings. We thank thee for our dear church, for our pastor and our people. We thank you that you brought us to this hour. All the days of our lives, you have been near and dear, even when we didn't realize it. You were working out your plan for our lives. We know that we must trust you and depend upon you. We cannot go our own way, because we know there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So may we go thy way. May each one of us search our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us in this hour. Should there be those who have never trusted Christ, what I'm going to say basically will not mean much to them, but I pray the Holy Spirit, at any rate, would convict and convince of their sins and bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ in this hour. And may each one of us reckon with the fact that God has for us a special life to live. He hadn't just turned us loose on a big wide world and said, go your way. No, no, he has a way. And we thank you for your way for us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans chapter 12 at verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies, listen carefully, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Can I say God never expects anything unreasonable of us? Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One of the most frequently asked questions to any pastor from any group of Christians is this: how can I know God's will for my life? I'm speaking to someone right this moment. You're asking yourself that question. How can I really know what God's will is for me, for my life? Now, let me suggest, and this is not, this is just a prelude to the introduction. Does that make sense? Well, it does to me, well, it does to you and I. I suggest three things to keep in mind when you're seeking God's will. Very simple. Number one, God's plans are perfect. Number two, God's paths are pleasant. And number three, God's presence is promised. Now, I should remind you that God's will is not always popular, but it is never impossible. Somebody might be saying, but you know, I've just been praying for this for a long time and I haven't gotten any answer. Well, let me tell you that one of two things wrong if that's the case. Listen carefully. Number one, it's not God's timing for it to happen. God has a time. We must go into his time clock. And number two, something is blocking the line. Do you remember what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 66 and verse 18? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, is there anything about that statement you don't understand? Simple. A, B, C. If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. He was wise who said, God's delays are not God's denials. Remember what Jesus said? I'm going to quote Jesus again already. He said, all right. I love to begin a message, continue it, and end it with a quote from Jesus. Here's what he said in Matthew chapter 10. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, Jesus was actually in reality saying, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Maybe you give up too quickly. How can people decide God's will? Did anybody ask you that question? Would you answer in something like this? Roll the dice. Look in the crystal ball. Shuffle the cards. Visit a fortune teller. Absolutely not. How absurd even to entertain such ridiculous thoughts. You see, ladies and gentlemen, God is not a spooky spirit with whom we can play games. God is the God of the universe. He's the creator of all things. He's the covenant maker. He's the consummator. He's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He's sovereign. He's sufficient. He's supreme. He's the only true and living God. Amen. Emphasize that word only. He's the only true and living God. Well, I give you, do you believe what God said? I love to quote God too, by the way. He said in Isaiah 46:9, I am God and there is none else. Period. Now, I want you to know that he has a vested interest in your life. God loves you. You might not think you're worth much, but he sent Jesus to die for you. He must have thought you were something. He's got a vested interest. He wants to reveal his perfect will to you because, listen, God wants the very best for your life. And the very best comes from him. You don't have to settle for God's second best. Let me tell you, you don't have to nibble on crackers and cheese when you can feast on caviar and T-bone. Garnished with peanut butter. Nobody goes to heaven that doesn't eat peanut butter. I've told you before, let me tell you again, some of you have forgotten it. You don't know where to find it. Well, it's in the book of 1 Babylonians, chapter 1 and verse 1. Thou shalt in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven unless thou dost eat peanut butter. Now, you children here tonight, when your mother and daddy say, peanut butter's not that good for you, make you, well, believe it, but ask them to help you to find the way to God. You need that anyhow, you know. You should remember that our God is a beneficent God. He's too good to do anything bad. He's too kind to do anything unkind. He's too holy to do anything unholy. He's too wise to do anything unwise. Hear me when I say this, a stern reminder, don't miss it. Inside God's will, there is no failure. Outside God's will, there is no success. By the way, are you in the right place tonight or the wrong place in your life? Could I tell you? If you're in the wrong place, the right place is vacant. Are you where God wants you to be? Doing what God wants you to do in the way God wants you to do it at the time he wants you to do it with the right motive for doing it? Are you in the right place, in God's place, or are you just floating around somewhere in your own comfort zone, hoping for the best? That's not the way God wants you to live. I like the motto of G. Campbell Morgan, the great British preacher who incidentally crossed the Atlantic Ocean 54 times to bring the gospel to America. Wow. Listen to him, what his motto is. God's will, nothing more, nothing less. Isn't that good? I tell you, folks, I know something that I like better. It's 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. In fact, I like the whole Bible. In fact, I love the Bible. I really do. I love the Bible. How about you? I love the Bible. I read it each day. I love the Bible. It guides my way. I love the Bible. It makes the way so plain. will love the Bible, it exalts the Savior's name. Hidden in my heart, I love the Word of God. 1 John 2:17. Please don't miss it. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Abideth forever? That's what it says. I didn't write that, folks. I just read it. He that doeth the will of God will live forever. Now, that's my introduction and the prelude, and now I'm ready to preach. I've entitled the message. I've already given it to you. You've forgotten it. Discerning God's will for your life. Now, before going into the matter of how to discern God's will, I wish to establish two basic truths about the will of God. Number one, it is God's will that all men be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Notice those two little words. They both begin with an A. Any and all. He is not willing that any should perish or die or go to hell. And by the way, everybody that's not going to heaven is going to hell. Let's face it, there are only two destinations. All should come to repentance. Truth number two, it is God's will that all saved people serve him within the plan, the pattern, the program, the purpose, the prescription that God has for every individual life. Let me say it again. God didn't just save you and say, well, go on your way. No, he said, I've got a plan for you. I've got a prescription for you. I've got a program for you. Remember the words of my text? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, this world system, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the way, did you know there's some things you don't have to pray about? Are you listening? You don't have to pray and ask God if it's his will for you to go to church. It's expressly stated in God's word. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the return of our Lord for the rapture. As I've often said to you, keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Hear me when I tell you. We know from the Word of God that we ought to be in church. Something else. You don't have to ask God whether it's his will that you study his word. It's expressly stated in 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I love this one. You don't have to ask God whether it's his will for you to tithe. Are you with me now? I lost some of you right there. The amen shut down quick. I remember when I was growing up, my uncle was a barber. I mean by trade. There came a guy into the barber shop one day that had just listened to my dad on the radio. And he said this to the barber. He didn't know him. He didn't know who he was. He said, that preacher barber, all he does is talks about money. And my uncle said, yeah, and he gets it too. I like that. There's something else. You don't have to ask God whether it's his will for you to pray. Jesus, here I go quoting Jesus again already. In Luke 18:1, Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now you can deduce from that, if you don't pray, you're going to faint. You're going to fall by the wayside. By the way, how is your prayer life? Getting quiet again. Don't bow your head. I'm not praying now. Men ought, that word ought suggests an obligation. Did you know we're obligated to pray one for another? I read in 1 Samuel 12:23, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. May I get personal again? When's the last time you called somebody's name in prayer and prayed specifically that God would do something for them? Let's be more specific with our prayers. What do you say? Not just, God bless all the missionaries, bless all the evangelists, bless all the pastors, bless all the world. Good night, God. I'll see you in the morning. No, no, no. Be specific. Now, let me help you with some things you may want to jot down. Let me help you in your endeavor to discover God's will for your life. There are six things. Number one, acknowledge your total dependence upon the Lord. Did you know that you can't do anything without God's help? Oh, you may try, but you're going to make a mess of it. You can't sing a solo. You can't read the Bible. You can't teach. You can't preach. You can't work on the bus. You can't witness. You can't win a soul. You can't do anything without God. Well, that's what Jesus, here I go quoting Jesus again. John 15 and verse 5, Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Is that plain or what? Nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Number two, avail yourself of the teaching of God's word. What does God say? What does the Bible have to say? And by the way, God wrote the Bible. What I'm giving you tonight is in the book. And God wrote the book. Amen. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein once in a while. No, no, no. When you think about it. No, no, no. When you have a few spare moments. No, no, no. That's not what it says. Now, we all say we believe the Bible. I would say there's not a person in this room tonight who does not believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. That is true. I believe all of us believe that. Meditate day and night that thou mayest know, watch this now, thou mayest observe to do according to some of the things that I like. No, no, no. To do according to all that is written therein. And here are the results. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. When? When you meditate in God's word day and night. Can I recommend you get up every morning reading a verse of Scripture or quoting a verse of Scripture? And through the day, read a verse or quote a verse. And at night when you lay your head down to rest, read a verse or quote a verse. May I get personal again? How long do you spend in God's Word on any given day? Meditate day and night. I admonish you to focus on the Bible until the Bible becomes focused on you. Read it, heed it, hide it, hold it forth. Read it through, take it in, write it down, work it out, and pass it on. Eat it, digest it, assimilate it into your spiritual being that you may grow thereby. Listen to what Jeremiah said in chapter 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Do you love God's word? Do you love to read it? Or do you read it because somebody said, well, you ought to read some every day. Now is a prescribed Here are the verses they prescribed for today. I guess I ought to read. No. You must have a love for the Word of God. Reading it prayerfully. Number three, accept the fact that God has promised to reveal His will to you. Accept the fact that God has promised to reveal His will to you. Psalm 32:8, listen to what God said. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou should go. I will guide thee with mine eye. God is guiding us with His eye every day. And by the way, God has 20/20 vision. No blind spots, no astigmatism, no short-sightedness. He knows exactly where He's going. And He knows how to guide you and me with His eye. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 are familiar words. The wise man wrote, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. God wants to direct your path tonight. Here's one of my favorite verses in all the Scripture. Psalm 48 and verse 14. The psalmist said, this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. God's not going to forsake you halfway down the road. He's going to be your guide till the day you die. Amen. Forever. I love it. Reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, of the end of the age. Hebrews 13:5. You know it. Paul quoted Jesus. Paul loved to quote Jesus too. Maybe that's where I got it from. He loved to quote Jesus. He said in Hebrews 13:5 that Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that a wonderful promise? It wouldn't matter if the president or the governor or the mayor or anyone else said, you know what? I want to stay with you. That wouldn't mean much. Because man usually fails in what he says. But not God. Not Jesus. I will never, 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 never leave thee nor forsake thee. That brings me to number four. Attune your ears to the voice of the Lord. Attend your ears to the voice of the Lord. Can I tell you that you cannot listen to the voice of God while you're listening to all the voices of the world system? All of these voices are deceptive. Many of them are blasphemous. They're unholy and they're unkind and they're unacceptable. But God is speaking from a pure heart Himself. Listen to what He says in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. Isaiah 30 verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Wow. He's leading up front and He's leading behind too. Isn't that wonderful? And by the way, God has His signal light on so you will know where He's going. And I suggest you keep your signal light on so the people behind you will know which way you're going, whether you're going the right way or the left way. Number five, allow the Spirit of God to guide you. Jesus said, here I go quoting Jesus again. I love to quote Jesus. He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. Amen. When I quote Him, I never have to worry about being misquoted. He said in John 16, 13, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, who is the Spirit of truth? That's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send another Comforter. And that word, another, means one just like the one speaking to you. He said, another Comforter. I must share this with you, Psalm 73 and verse 24. You don't want to miss this. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. You know what the counsel of God is? I kind of believe it's God's word. Because I found out a long time ago that the answer to every question you have is in this book. And the solution to every problem you have is in this book. Amen. This is the only authority. This is the only divinely inspired book on this planet. Amen. I know that all the shelves of the bookstores are full with people who are writing every day, and that's good. I've written a few books myself. But there's no book like this book. Amen. Within this ample volume lies a mystery of mysteries. Happiest they of human race to whom God hath given grace to read, to fear, to hope, to pray, to lift the latch, to force the way. But better had they ne'er been born that read to doubt or read to scorn. Psalm 73:24 says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. I believe he means with his word. And afterward, I love this, and afterward, receive me to glory. Isn't that wonderful? When it's all over, when the last message has been preached, when the last song has been sung, when the last testimony has been given, when the last soul has been saved, when the last labor is over, the last breath is drawn, he will receive you into glory. That's what he said. And that brings me to number six. Ask God to give you wisdom to discern his will for your life. Let me repeat it. Ask God to give you wisdom to discern his will for your life. Have you read James chapter 1 lately? Verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him call California. No, I believe I misread that, Pastor. You'll forgive me, won't you? If any of you lack wisdom, let him dial Dallas. They know everything over there. If any of you lack wisdom, let him fax Phoenix. That's out west. If any of you lack wisdom, let him wire Washington. You are in trouble now. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We got to be single-minded, folks. When I think about single-minded, I can't help remember the girl who sent her picture off to the Lonely Hearts Club. They sent it back and said, we ain't that lonely. She was a single girl. But spiritually, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Spiritually, we have to have a single mind. A mind that is fixed upon Jesus. Jesus and you. You and Jesus. Let this be your prayer. Lord, I'm willing to be made willing. Are you? Are you willing to be made willing? Someone wrote, His plan for today is all that I ask. With Him I can leave the tomorrow. So by faith I can walk, and with Him I can talk just today, with its joy or its sorrow. His plan for today, let it bring what it may, be it fullness of joy or deep sorrow. In His love let me rest, for He knows what is best. So with Him I can leave the tomorrow. That is so close to what Jesus said in Matthew 6:34. I'm going to quote Him again. Here's what He said. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What did Jesus mean by that? Just throw everything to the wind, find you a good shady spot, and sit down and hope everything turns out all right? No. I believe Jesus meant something like this. You have enough on your plate to keep you busy today. And when tomorrow comes, it will be today again. Now I leave you with this admonition. Stop worrying and start believing. Can I quote Jesus just one more time? I'm closing my message with what Jesus said. Please listen. In Mark 9 and verse 23, Jesus said, All things are possible to him that understandeth everything in the Bible. No. Jesus said, All things are possible unto him that believeth. Do you believe it? Are you trusting him? Are you in the right place? Remember, if you're in the wrong place, the right place is vacant. Where are you tonight? Are you in God's full, holy, righteous will? With His plan, His pattern, His purpose, His program, and His prescription being fulfilled in your life? Are you in God's will? Let's stand for our prayer. Our heads are bowed. The Holy Spirit is speaking. I've spoken mainly to Christians tonight. Most of you claim to be saved, I'm sure. Heads are bowed. Let me ask you again, are you in God's perfect will for your life? I wonder who might say, as a Christian, as a member of Worth Baptist Church or somewhere you're a member, and you would just be honest with God tonight and say, I'm not fully, completely in God's will. I want to be. I'm seeking it. I'm searching it. And the Scripture and the Holy Spirit has helped me to understand how I can do it in this message. I wonder if you'd just lift your hand and say, Preacher, pray for me. I want God's perfect will for my life. Put it up real high. All over. God bless you. God bless you. There are many. Please, with your hand down now, if you lifted your hand, you weren't mocking God. You really meant business. You know what I want you to do? Without any further ado, I just want you to step out of your seat, right where you are, if you lifted your hand. Come to the place of prayer. I know you're saying, well, I can pray right where. Yes, you can, but somehow I believe you'd feel a little bit closer to Him if you made your way to an altar. You say, but preacher, I can't kneel. Well, you can stand around the altar. You can sit on the front seat. Just some movement to prove that you are sincere about God's perfect will for your life. I'm not asking you, are you going to be perfect? Because I'm going to tell you, absolutely not. Nobody's going to be perfect. Will I sin again? Oh, yes. Will I step out of God? Yeah, you may do it again. You may step right out of God's will. But I'm going to tell you, you can find the perfect plan that God has for your life right here at an altar prayer.